Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, we get asked a lot about interest rates, right? It's affecting portfolios. Savers want, I can't get GICs that pay me enough anymore. It's just a gong show, right? Lots of questions about interest rates, where they're going, policy, and so on.
And so here's what a headline that came out, a couple of weeks ago, where it says, cheer up, dividend investors. A CIBC strategist is predicting an interest rate reversal.
Oh!
A reversal next year, my friend.
Uh-oh.
So let's get this strategist on the phone. Yeah. Let's talk to him.
Well, it's been such an interesting topic. Great to have Ian Pollock with us, CIBC, head of North American Rate Strategy. Ian, welcome for thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks very much, guys.
Okay, welcome to the show here. Let's talk a little bit about interest rates. I mean, this is, you know, depending on if you're a saver or if you're a borrower.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all over the place in terms of what this could mean. But maybe give us a sense of where you see interest rates going over the next 12 to 18 months.
Sure. Well, I think it's always good to start off with the starting point. And why are interest rates rising? Well, there's really three reasons. The first reason interest rates are rising is because around the world, monetary policy is being moved into restrictive territory. Mm-hmm. After years of living at almost zero interest rates, financial conditions became very, very loose, imbalances started to build up, and policymakers, specifically those in North America, are starting to rein in interest rates.
Right.
Number two is all of those unconventional policies that were implemented during the financial crisis, such as buying government bonds, buying corporate bonds, well, those look like they're coming to an end. And in the United States, at least, they're further ahead than most. Europe will join the fray later this year by reducing their own bond purchases. And net-net, that should put upper pressure on longer-term yields. And then finally, as you get close to the end of the interest rate cycle, very perversely, what happens is interest rates tend to rise as investors are unclear whether or not interest rate hikes will continue for the indefinite future. Now, we have a little bit of a different view. We do think that interest rates will continue to rise for the foreseeable future in Canada, but let's ask ourselves a very important question. Is an interest rate hike in 2018 or 2019 the same as it was 10 years ago? And the answer obviously is no. With so much leverage in the system, every interest rate hike that's delivered to the economy has a much more powerful impact. That's why at CIBC, we have a much shallower view of interest rates than some of the rest of Bay Street. And in fact, we think that by this time next year, interest rates will actually be lower than where they're starting right now.
Lower?
So are you? And then so there's a bunch of interest rates. When we say interest rates, people think there's only one interest rate. So let's maybe talk a little bit more about which interest rates do you anticipate to be lower?
So we think that when we look at interest rates, we think that in the very near term, particularly in the first quarter of 2019, that the Bank of Canada will raise short-term interest rates, you know, the interest rates that affect my credit card, my mortgage, and some auto loans, will increase by about 50 basis points. Now, we think that's the last of the rate hikes this cycle. But for longer-term yields, 10-year rates, 30-year yields, which really don't influence household consumption, it's more of a business type of problem, yep, we think those interest rates should continue to rise. But in the very, very short end of the yield curve, where consumers are most impacted, we think that those interest rates will end the year lower than where they are right now.
That's interesting.
And this year lower or end next year lower? Let's just clarify that.
Next year lower. We think that rates are heading higher for the foreseeable future.
Yep.
But by the end of 2019, as you get very close to what many are predicting to be a recessionary year in the United States, we do think that interest rates will end lower.
Okay. What does that mean for the average mortgage holder, as an example?
Well, if you were to look at the amount of mortgages that are coming due in Canada over the next, say, 2 years, about 50% of those people will experience higher interest rates for the first time in the past decade.
Yep.
Now, we had a bunch of refinances in 2018. However, rates in 2013 were very similar than they were today, mm-hmm, and a lot of people were quite prudent in paying down their house. So while interest rates may be a little bit higher, the starting point in terms of what you're paying per month is actually going to be a little bit lower. Now, the factor that always swings around is how much equity have you taken out of your house?
Yep.
Obviously, if you've built up additional debt through a HELOC, then irrespective of what interest rates are doing and how much capital you put down on your house, you may actually end up having a higher borrowing rate.
Yeah, so that, I mean, as Canadians, we know, we get this data that we are the most indebted probably that we've ever been. And the concern, of course, from an economics perspective, is that as these mortgages reset, Ian, that additional pressure you know, for those people on the margin who are very close to what they can afford on a monthly basis, really get impacted negatively. What's your outlook on that? I mean, how nervous, how prudent do these people have to be in terms of managing this monthly cash flow and potential problem?
Well, I think we have to recognize that interest rates are still extremely low by historical standards. And people of a certain age, for example, I am 37 years old, I don't know what anything costs. I've never had a lease rate more than 3%. I've never had a mortgage rate more than 3.5%.
Yep.
And I think that that's somewhat interrupts what you should be doing in terms of saving and stocking away cash for the future. So what I do worry about is that the capacity of the household sector to carry the Canadian economy through the next recession is much more limited today than it was, say, in 2008.
So let's talk about savers, because I basically chat with them quite a bit in my role, and these savers are waiting for that 5% GIC rates, or when they see those rates of return going higher on fixed income or bonds, they're going to start to reduce their risk. Based on your analysis, Ian, are you saying that savers may not be able to see that in the short run come next year?
I think that savers should be very cognizant of de-risking portfolios into the early part of 2019, simply because we don't think higher interest rates are necessarily here to stay for the foreseeable future. So while there may be a lot of momentum in terms of yields selling off, but from a savings perspective, you want to take advantage of some of these interest rate sensitive products and lock in a better rate of return.
All right. So it may not be the 5%, you know, Faisal, that we were talking about or we hoped for as a saver, but higher than where it is today. So 50 basis points, when we talk basis points just for listeners, that's 0.5%. One basis point is 1/100 of 1%. So when Ian talks about 50 basis points, talking about 0.5% increase. What other effects? So we're talking about this interest rate move that you're talking about, short-term higher, maybe a little bit lower towards the end of next year as, you know, we get a little longer in the tooth in this economic recovery. What are the implications? What should people really be thinking about here?
Well, I think you have to recognize that there's been a very distorted interplay between various asset classes since the financial crisis. And really that was by design, because when you introduce what was known as quantitative easing, which is when central banks expanded their balance sheets by buying government bonds, credit bonds, and mortgage bonds, what that really did was is it took out a lot of risk premia from global markets.
Right.
And the net effect was it took the stock-bond correlation highly positive. So over the past 5 to 7 years, when you look at your balanced portfolio, a typical portfolio is 60-40, you were making money on both legs. You're making money in the equity market, you're making money in the bond market. Now the concern here is, as interest rates do start to rise, at some point it does disrupt that usual correlation. So from a 60-40 portfolio, and keep in mind, we did see this in October, the part of that portfolio, the 40% that was supposed to diversify you, didn't. You had a sell-off in equities, a sell-off in interest rates, and your usual safe portfolio, well, it didn't look that safe to me.
And so the last thing that savers have a concern about, especially clients of ours or retirees that travel south, is the foreign exchange. If interest rates, in your view, are going to go down in the short run come the end of 2019, how does that impact currency between us and the U.S.?
Well, it's interesting because I would have told you that given what the market is pricing for the Bank of Canada, which is 3 additional 25 basis point rate hikes over 2019, which takes the rate from 175 today to 250, that the Canadian dollar would have been much stronger. But in fact, the weakness that we've seen in global energy prices, and specifically Canadian energy prices, has really undermined the currency. And it's prevented it from richening. So we don't think that the Canadian dollar is actually, the outlook is that bright. We continue to see a very weak dollar for the foreseeable future.
Do you have an idea of what that number would look like from your guys's?
Our official forecast is a $1.35 CAD.
Yeah, okay. So that's sub 76 cents said the other way.
Yes. 3 cents from here.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay, Ian, thank you very much. We could go on indefinitely about this topic. I think you've given us some good guidance as to how you see the next, call it 15 months rolling out, and we appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Have a great day, guys. Cheers.
Cheers. Been joined by Ian Pollock, head of CIBC's head of North American rate strategy. It is a constant tug of war between the borrowers, right,
and the savers. Yep.
And, you know, depending on which side of that ledger you're on, rising interest rates can be a good thing or bad thing.
And more people are on both sides. They're also borrowing and saving at the same time, and so they're getting pulled in both directions. It's very difficult, challenging, so that's where the advice needs to come into play. And this is one of the risks that we have out there.
You bet. So let's talk about this, because Ian said something very interesting. We had a period in October where we had both bonds and stocks falling at the same time. One of the things that we're trying to educate Calgarians on for a very long time is this notion of alternative asset classes, and that's one of the topics we're talking about in ways to bulletproof your retirement at our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, there's five pillars to an investment strategy approach that we have. We'll talk about our five pillars on Tuesday, November 20th. At the Crowfoot Co-op Wine, Spirits, and Beer. Our 7 p.m. session is full now. So we're going to open up another session, Dave. We're going to open it up at 8:30
okay.
for those who want to still attend. So even though you're registering online at morethanmoneyradio.ca, you can still register. It says 7 p.m., but we'll fit you in for the 8:30 show. Or give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, and we can talk to you then.
Stick around after the break, as we're going to pull all this together. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.